Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Feels like every single 49er player is using the word legendary. It's a big word in that locker room. Well, we got a legendary NFL insider for you right here on 95.7 The Game. Peter King, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. He joins us here once again, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. And Peter, what do you know? The 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. Did you think it was going to be that easy against Green Bay? How did the Niners pull that off?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think it would be that easy. I didn't think they would do it by throwing eight passes or whatever. But I just thought this was a bad matchup for Green Bay in all ways. It's so hard to block that front. And Green Bay has a good offensive line, but it's not quick at all. And, you know, it was amazing. People were trying to come up with reasons why Green Bay was going to be able to be more competitive this time. I just never saw it. If you can't block them, you're not going to win. And that's going to be the same problem for Kansas City. Kansas City's line's a little bit better, but, I mean, this is going to be, to me, the Super Bowl is going to be kind of like a Seattle-San Francisco game. If Russell Wilson can run around and evade the rush enough, he's going to make enough big plays to make it a competitive game and maybe win. And I just think it's going to be the same game, which would be great for America because that'll mean it's a game in the last 2 minutes.
When you talk about blocking this front, Peter, I mean, there was a time in the season when they slowed down a little bit, but coincides, not so surprisingly, with missing a couple pieces. Is it just as simple as if they're fully healthy, nobody's going to be able to block this Niner front? You just have to figure out how to get away from them?
No, I don't think it's right to say nobody can, but they're gonna have enough opportunity to make plays. I do think, however, that there are some quarterbacks right now that are more equipped to be able to play a good game against a front like that. I think one of them is Russell Wilson. I think one of them is Patrick Mahomes. Now, you wouldn't say that either Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes is Lamar Jackson as far as being able to run the ball, but they evade so well. They're so smart and instinctive in the pocket, and they just have a great feel, both of them. And so even though I think there will be a lot of loose 49ers in and around the quarterback, I don't think necessarily that means they're going to get eight sacks, though.
As Kansas City in essentially the last 3 years had a history of changing what they do enough so that, you know, for instance, like against San Francisco, they wouldn't sit in the pocket for a long time, that they do different things schematically to match up with different teams? Or are they a team that says, we have the best offense, we do what we do, you figure it out?
No, Ray, I think it's definitely the first one. I spent some time with Andy Reid when I was in Kansas City this weekend. One of the things that Andy Reid does, and I think does very, very well, is he has a way of, and he reminds me a little bit of Doug Peterson like this. And I mean, rightfully so, because Doug Peterson, before he coached the Philadelphia Eagles, was Andy's offensive coordinator. But I think one of the things that you saw out of Peterson is something very much out of Andy Reid's playbook. Every day in his office in Kansas City, he has his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, his quarterback coach, Mike Kafka, quality control guy on offense, and and maybe one or two others sit in there and they just talk and diagram stuff during the course of, you know, informal and formal meetings. And it's always with the eye on, hey, here's what they do, so let's see if what we do here can work. And even though Patrick Mahomes is only 24 years old, he has given Andy Reid the kind of comfort so that when he calls a play, Mahomes, look, Andy Reid on the best run of Patrick Mahomes' life, the 27-yard touchdown run the other day right before halftime that gave Kansas City its first lead of the game, which they never lost. There was no way when that play was called that Andy Reid thought that Patrick Mahomes was going to take off, because they thought with the fact on that play that they had Tyreek Hill running a skinny post from the left side and then Travis Kelce running a seam route up the right side, Andy never thought in a million years that both of those guys would essentially be doubled. Now, he knows that on any particular play, anyone could be doubled. But those were the two guys that were the key guys in that pass route. So good for Dean Pease and Mike Vrabel for shutting that play down. But they also have a quarterback who knows that, hey, look, I can get 8 or 10 yards on this play because I've got four defenders locked down on two players. I have enough room to make some yards. So he just took off. That is the sort of smart institutional knowledge that Andy Reid has in Patrick Mahomes and knows he can rely on any play.
Who is the preeminent play caller in this game, Peter? Andy Reid or Kyle Shanahan?
I think Kyle Shanahan is what Andy Reid was 20 years ago. An imaginative, different guy who, I will guarantee you this, after the game, if you give Steve Spagnuolo sodium pentothal, he will say there are 10 things that San Francisco did in this game that truly surprised me. And that's why Kyle is so great. He is a truly great designer, choreographer, and caller of plays. It'd be hard for me to pick one because I think it's very possible that at the end of this game, we'll be able to point to two or three plays that one guy designed and called versus the other guy who maybe made one or two, but one of the two is going to make one or two more smart calls here, in my opinion anyway. That's going to be the difference in this game. I think this is going to be a fantastic football game. And there are going to be some things that happen that, you know, I was saying this to somebody today. I'd like to have Dan Orlovsky sit next to me at this game, because one of the reasons why Orlovsky has become such a great analyst early on is that he is sort of ESPN's Tony Romo. He can see things. And a lot of this comes from just the fact that he was a backup quarterback for a long time and watched smart quarterbacks ahead of him do smart things. But anyway, this is going to be a game, in my opinion, where you're going to need to have a really, really good knowledge of each team's offense to understand why one team won and one team lost.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Is there any advantage that the Niners might have running what I'm just going to call the Milton Burrow playbook so far through two games? Kyle's only pulled out enough to win. I don't think we've gotten to page three, Peter, of his playbook. Does that give him any advantage going into this game, or are there no secrets among thieves?
No, I think that's actually a really, really smart point to make. I think that could be an advantage for the 49ers because, look, I don't care how smart Andy Reid is. I don't care how smart his defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo is. Right now, honestly, really, be honest. Do you guys have watched every snap of the 49ers this year? Do you truly have any idea what to expect out of Jimmy Garoppolo in this game? You don't, because I don't think anybody does. Kyle Shanahan and their staff can say, oh, we're fully confident in Garoppolo. If he has to throw it 40 times, we're very confident. I don't know how you can be, you know, based on what you've seen the last 2 weeks. Look, it's been, you know, 30 to 40 years. 40 to 50 years, rather, back in the Bob Greasy days, where you've had play calling like this. The San Francisco 49ers in the first two games of this postseason have done something incredibly unheard of that I never, ever, ever thought in my lifetime I would see. They're calling 75% runs. Now, a lot of teams right now wouldn't feel bad about calling 75% passes because they're that confident in their passing game. But that's how confident Kyle Shanahan is in his running game. And I can't tell you deep down inside what he truly thinks about Garoppolo. You know what he's going to say, but, I mean, it's just – and I think probably this is mostly because they figured they could run on each team, and they did. And they routed two teams in a row just simply by running the ball. But I just still wonder how much right now – how they would feel if at the two-minute warning of the fourth quarter – they'd have to have Garoppolo throw seven passes in a row to bring them down the field because they got no timeouts left. So it's just something in the back of my mind. I know nothing. I'm just going from, you know, who in modern day football would ever call 75% runs? And they have. So I think this is going to be a very compelling Super Bowl, if for that reason only. How much of a role will Jimmy Garoppolo have?
Given that Kyle Shanahan has the advantage of a father who has coached in the last 25 years, I wonder if his acknowledgement of the history of the game, which seems to have led him to early 1970s Miami Dolphins, is easier for him because he has such a backlog of experience through his father, because it seems odd to me, at least superficially, that the 40-year-old is the guy who is willing to throw 10 times a game or less.
Yeah.
And the guy who's 20 years older wants the ball in the air and wants, like, sort of manic, chaotic creativity on every play.
I think there's a major difference there. If Kyle Shanahan had Patrick Mahomes on his team, I don't care how good his running game was, I don't think he'd be throwing it 8 times a game. I just, you know, and that isn't anything denigrating to say about Garoppolo. I'm just saying that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football right now. He was falling the other day while being tackled and threw a ball somewhere between three quarters and sidearm that was slightly underthrown, but it still resulted in a 60-yard touchdown pass, to Sammy Watkins. And so when you have somebody like that, that ball, I think, traveled 48 yards in the air. When you have a quarterback who, while being tackled, can throw a ball 48 yards in the air pretty much on target, you're going to use that a lot. You'd be foolish not to. And look, again, I realize that every comparison here is going to be to the advantage of Mahomes and to the disadvantage of Garoppolo. I don't necessarily believe that Garoppolo can't do this at all. I just think that we haven't seen him do it in the last 2 weeks. So I truly don't know what to expect. Now, I know what to expect. Andy Reid is putting the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands, and because he knows that gives him a better chance to win than giving it to Damian Williams 29 times. And so there's nothing really complex about that. But right now, you know what really surprised me the other day? I mean, and so, you know, I've watched the 49ers a lot this year, and I like Raheem Mostert. I almost thought he's a tenth of a second faster the other day than I ever saw him. Man, he was so fast. I had John Lynch on my podcast today. It's going to drop tomorrow. And he was talking about sort of, you know, the faith that Kyle Shanahan has in his entire roster. And I think that was underlined in bold marker with the fact that in the biggest game he ever coached in his life, you know, he handed the ball to the guy who entered training camp as their fourth running back. He handed it to him 29 times.
When you have a guy like Raheem Mostert, who's been cut by 6-7 teams and all of a sudden breaks out and looks starish, is that, I mean, look, I think we can all agree it's a combination of him getting better and a team figuring out how to use him right and all that stuff. But is this maybe at least evidence that NFL teams in general should be more patient?
Well, now that is a great question. I think it's hard for me right now to look at Raheem Mostert and say it really is surprising that he's been on seven teams. But I'll tell you why I think he's been on seven teams. Okay, I think it's because Raheem Mostert was one of the best special teams players in the league. Okay, and if a team was going to employ him, they were going to use him as a core special teams player. They weren't bringing him in to be anything more than like the fourth running back. So I'd have to look back over each team he was on or each team that he tried out for. And I'd really have to look at their special teams sort of roster and what they needed. And then I'd want to know who their backs were each year when that decision was made. But in my opinion, one of the things that kind of held him back, it's funny, after the game, I was talking to Joe Staley, and he said, you know, he really handed it to Raheem for not kind of going bat crap a few times when he got passed over and he was still playing special teams, even though everybody on the offense could see, boy, this would be a great back. It kind of reminded me of, and I don't know if you guys would appreciate this or even remember this, but, you know, in the late 80s and 90s, say the first 5 years of the 90s, when Marv Levy coached the Buffalo Bills, he had the best special teams player in football, Steve Tasker. And Jim Kelly kept asking him. Steve Tasker was Julian Edelman in 1993. That's exactly who he was. And Kelly would, in practice, would love him. He said, hey, let me use him. And he goes, and Levy and Bruce DeHaven, the special teams coach, would say, we're using this guy like 25 snaps every game, full out. We're sending him to block kicks, to chase punts, everything. And so we just can't do that. And that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, why Raheem Mostert probably didn't get a better chance earlier in his career to be a running back, because he was so instinctual and such a good special teams player.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Every game plan starts with a name written on a whiteboard. Beyond the name Patrick Mahomes, what name will Kyle Shanahan write down first on his whiteboard? What name will Andy Reid write down first?
So are you saying who is the person who Andy Reid wants to go after?
Or, however you want to approach the name that he writes down. It could either be a strength or a weakness to attack, however you want to approach it.
My feeling is that he is going to do everything he can to not throw the ball within 5 yards of Richard Sherman very much in this game. Because Sherman is an unpredictable force in this game. He's so smart. He has such a good gut feeling about what a quarterback is going to do. And he will have a great feel about Patrick Mahomes coming into this game. So I think that they will be very reticent and very careful about going in that direction. But I also think that one of the things he's going to do in this game. You know, as impressive as everybody is on that San Francisco front, I think, you know, the best possible thing for the 49ers now in this extra week is, so Nick Bosa during the course of the year occasionally has had some knee issues, and after games has been very sore. I think he might be, and again, I'm not around the team that much, so this is just me guessing. I think Andy Reid is going to be extremely cognizant of Nick Bosa, and Nick Bosa is going to be, if anything, more dangerous in the Super Bowl than he has been recently, because now he's going to get 2 weeks off. So especially, I think he's going to be better than last week when he didn't have that much time off.
If you could have award a like Madden style team speed rating, which of these teams would get the higher grade?
Kansas City, because I think Tyreek Hill right now has the most unique and threatening speed in the game. I remember last year when I went to New Orleans, and on a Saturday night, Sean Payton let me sit in on the offensive game plan meeting, you know, with the proviso that I couldn't write anything or say anything until Monday morning. And afterwards, I was, you know, all teams after Saturday night meetings, they have a little, call it team snack or whatever. And I was sitting there with Payton at this thing, and he said, "Hey, where have you been and what have you been doing?" I said, "Hey, last weekend or a couple of weeks ago, I was in Kansas City and I was talking to him about Tyreek Hill." And he goes, "Watch this." And he said, "Hey, Drew," and he calls over Breeze, and he said, "Drew, who are you just saying this week is the most dangerous offensive player in football?" He goes, and Breeze says, "Tyreek Hill." And Peyton just laughed. And imagine that, you're on the Saints, and you know, you got Michael Thomas, you got Kamara, and it's like a matter of fact taken for granted that the most dangerous guy on offense in football is Tyreek Hill. I think he has shown that the ability to be so fast that guys will take normal routes to try to tackle him, and they'll be way off because his speed is so unnatural. And I mean his game speed. I'm not sure he's the fastest person in the NFL. He probably is close, but his game speed is just a difference maker. Now, having said all that, you know, the 49ers front seven, the speed on their front seven is truly difference making. And so that is something that they have an advantage over the Chiefs in. And look, the 49ers obviously have enough speed. I mean, Kendrick Bourne is really fast. Deebo Samuel is fast, obviously. But I just think that, you know, Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, if Tyreek Hill wasn't in that kind of trouble in college, he would have been what Marquise Hollywood Brown is right now. Whatever Brown was, I forget what number he was, the 20th pick in the draft, I forget what it was. But, you know, a mid-first-round pick, that's what Tyreek Hill would have been if he didn't get into the domestic violence or sexual assault trouble he got in college.
Peter, always great to talk to you, man. Thank you very much. Overall speed, 40-yard race, you and Ratto, who takes it?
I would kill him because you know what would happen? At the 7-yard mark, Ray would grab the back of his leg and say, "I'm hurt, I'm hurt." And it would just be his excuse because he wouldn't want a man up against me.
Peter, I have a feeling at the start line, Ray would turn around and walk off the field.
Here's why I would kill you, because at 4 yards, I would grab your legs.
Forearm tackling.
Deception is the key to any athletic endeavor, and not playing the sport that the other guy is playing is a huge advantage.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's going to be really interesting. Get one last point about the speed is that, you know, good coaches can find a way either by being very physical. I bet Robert Saleh is right now trying to formulate a plan that maybe they bump a little bit more and maybe they're a little bit more physical with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins than they might normally be. We'll see, but I doubt sincerely that there's going to be many plays that Tyreek Hill will run free.
Peter, thank you so much. Great to talk to you, and we look forward to really previewing the Super Bowl next week when we get our hands on you. Thanks for letting us talk with you tonight once again. I think we're the only show that does like a 40-minute podcast with you on a Monday or Tuesday, and we really appreciate
it. Time. I look forward to seeing you guys in Miami.
Thank you very much. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.